Dignity Justified, Episode 4.
Dignity Justified illuminates African American images, ideas, artifacts, and community.
Hi, I'm Anita.
And I'm Calvin. This podcast episode is a continuation of Dignity Justified's focus on the S.G. Atkins Community Development Corporation. The S.G. Atkins CDC owns the Enterprise Center, where the Conference and Banquet Center is located, and also where our guest, Patricia DeGraffenried, serves as event manager, planner, and coordinator. Let's get started.
Hi, Patricia, and welcome to Dignity Justified Podcast with Calvin and Anita. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hello, Calvin. Hello, Anita.
Hello.
Patricia, will you pronounce your first and last name and spell your last name for me?
My name is Patricia DeGraffenried, D-E-G-R-A-F-F. That's Frank, I-N-R-E-A-I-D-T.
Thank you for spelling that. And you know, when I first saw your name, I thought about a movie, Akia and the Bee, a spelling bee movie. Because when I saw your name, I bet in elementary school, she was the best speller because you have almost half of the alphabet in your name. So my question for you is, how did that help you, having such a distinct last name and having so many alphabets? How did that help you in school in terms of writing, maybe your penmanship, and also with spelling?
Well, actually, spelling is one of my best subjects. I started school at 5 because my birthday is on October the 3rd. So if you were born after October the 15th, you had to wait to another year. So I learned how to spell my name before going to school. So, yes, ma'am.
Thanks for sharing that. I thought that was just an interesting thing about your name.
Yeah. Some of the things I've gotten is, what kind of name is that for a Black person? That is my name. It is Dutch. Mm-hmm. If I can give you a little history. So Christopher von DeGraffenried was from Bern, Switzerland. He migrated from Bern, Switzerland to the United States to find what is now New Bern, North Carolina. So his bust, Christopher von DeGraffenried, sits right in the middle of town if you were going to New Bern. And of course, he traveled here with his Black maid. So thus the seeds and the story. But there's a lot of history behind that, but we don't have enough time to discuss the DeGraffenried name.
Wow, that is so interesting. You know, I grew up in Williamston, North Carolina, which is East Coast, North Carolina, so I know all about New Bern. Mm-hmm. And I will certainly look for that the next time. What a wonderful connection. What a wonderful background in terms of your genealogy. I will certainly look for that bust, and I'll take a picture in front of it so that you can see that I'm there.
Yeah. And if you're traveling there, I think when you pull into, there is a rest area, like a tourist information. There's some information in that tourist rest area as well. Well, it was the last time I was through there, but that's been several years. But they generally promote that name and its origin.
Interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that information. You know, I love history.
I know you do.
I appreciate that. So I'm going to try to figure out a little bit more about the Enterprise Center Conference and Event Facility. I know that on the web once I saw that maybe a part of the tagline is the place where community hospitality lives. So that sounds exciting in itself. And since I have an office here, you know, I have seen a few things going on because there's always something going on each and every floor, in the garden, in the courtyard area, everywhere. So can you tell us a little bit about the place where community hospitality lives? Tell us about Conference and Event Center and perhaps some of your role.
Okay, so about 10 years ago. Can you imagine? 10 years ago, Carol Davis gave me a call. I was referred to her by the Neighborhood Association president, who I worked with some time back. And so she called me and said to me that in this building, they had been only open for like a year, but they had a, quote, multi-purpose room, and they needed someone to manage it. And Patricia Billings, which was the head of our neighborhood association, had referred me to her. So she wanted to know if I could help her. And so it was so funny. So she said, I said, yes, I'd be very interested in there. She said, in the job. She said, well, can you come to work tomorrow? Even without even interviewing me, she said, can you come to work tomorrow? And I'm saying, well, she said, well, do you want to come up and talk with me today? And initially, because I was leaving the Y and I had another appointment, and I said, well, is it okay if we schedule something for tomorrow? And she was a little hesitant. And then we hung up. And then when we hung up, God just said to me, call this lady back, schedule it today, right? Mm-hmm. And I did. I called her right back and said to her that I need to go home and change clothes, and I will be here at the center around 2 or 3 o'clock, I think it was. So I came up, we talked, and she still asked me if I can start the next day. So I did. And when I came here, they called it the multi-purpose room. So the multi-purpose room to me meant nothing. It sounded like a closet, or someplace you can do anything in there, but not really special events. So it just didn't sound prominent. It didn't have that oomph. So I said to her, the first thing I'd like to do is change the name. So she said, what do you suggest? I said, the Enterprise Conference and Event Center, a state-of-the-art facility, hospitality venue. And she said, okay, all right. And I said, well, we have to have a tagline too. And I said, it's the place where community hospitality lives, because that's the way I wanted to create the experience. And that's where it began 10 years ago, as the multi-purpose room. And initially I was called the event manager. So I went from the event manager to the coordinator to event planner. All three do the same thing. We create and build a vision for those who are wanting to use our hospitality venue. We began by the first thing we wanted to do, because we need to have a purpose, because the mission of SG Atkins Community Development Corporation is to build community, to build leadership, to build economics surrounding the Winston-Salem State University neighborhood. So as we began to think about that, the thought came, why don't we hire people to work there in the center from the community? Some of the people we hire are people who society initially said that because of something that has happened in their past, I don't think you can work right now at this company. And so there were two people initially that I pulled in. One had just, he was incarcerated, very good guy. Mm-hmm. And the other was living in a homeless shelter. So our focus here in this community was to hire these people, train these people, put them on the floor to work with people. And that's what we did. One of the people that we trained who did not have any experience, there was a group at the center one night, and they liked the way the hospitality experience that was given by my staff. So they hired him, and he said that he was always still work part-time with me. He's no longer here now, but he's doing great things in the community. So that's where we are. That's our purpose. That's our being. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, that is really just good news. You know, when we think about a resource, a facility where someone can come in and be given that sort of opportunity to grow as a person, someone who says to you, what has happened, and we're moving forward. We want to address your homelessness by giving you some sort of economic stability. And we want to address the fact that you may be the least of those that society will deem as employable. And so they walk in and they have what they probably will think about as the opportunity of a lifetime. So I do have a question. When I think about the Event and Conference Center, can you delineate and tell me what will we do in terms of an event? For example, would I have to bring my own microphone? Would I have to have my own projector? Is there a television available? What sorts of equipment, AV equipment, is in place so that if I think about having some sort of meeting at the conference area, how is it set up so that I can walk into a place that's already ready for me to start my session, to get my group in? And how does it look for a person who is trying to plan, let's say, a family reunion? Do I have to worry about my food, or what is in place for
anything?
Isn't that wonderful? So I can have my family reunion there. The church can have a meeting there. I can have my business meeting there. Just about anything I want to do is going to be available for me at this center.
Our hospitality venue is just like any other venue that you would call any other convention center, any other Marriott's, any other Hawthorne Inns. We do the same thing. We have any audiovisual need that you may have. We have it all. So when a person calls, and I call them my guests, when a guest calls, I only initially want to know the date, number of people, that kind of thing. And then my first question is, you know, what's your vision? What would you like to see? How can we create this vision that's going to be memorable, whether it be a corporate event, whether it be weddings, receptions, whether it be birthday parties, masquerade parties, all kind of Christmas parties. I mean, we do it all. We do it all. You anything you want in terms of audiovisual, we have. We even have a AV tech support person that's here throughout if needed. Now we're installing a large 65-inch screen that will go into one of our rooms. So the facility itself is about 5,000 square feet. So we can accommodate any persons up to 300 people, depending on the setup. So and it subdivides, the room subdivides, so we can do smaller groups and larger groups. We also have, as you are aware, we have a Forsyth County's first shared use kitchen. So we do have chefs that are in the building that create magic in that kitchen and that we use for events. So everything is a one-stop shop. You come to me, you talk to me, and we will make sure that your event, whether it be a meeting, whether it be a largest wedding. And by the way, we have been in Winston-Salem, we have been awarded, or we are now in the top 10 hospitality venues in Winston-Salem, ranking at number 5.
Awesome sauce. And
yes, yes, yes. In terms of weddings and receptions, we have our badge of honor, and we are right there in the middle, number 5. So we've done well over the last 10 years. It was a little slow at first, getting people to cross 52. But now we are alive and well, and we're having all kinds of events. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, we are having Erin Brockovich, if you remember her, the movie.
Yes.
About her. They're going to be here the 1st of November. We have done the head of the Islam
minister.
Been here, yeah.
Minister Farrakhan.
All kinds of people, a lot of notables. And we also have those who just love our hospitality and love my staff that keep coming back and back and back.
Well, the name of the Enterprise Center is out. The brand is growing. The facility survived COVID-19. A lot of businesses and event places didn't. The community has embraced the service, the quality service. And so nothing but clear sailing ahead in my mind, Richard, for you and your team. Now, when I think of events, I imagine there are technical parts of the process, and then there's artistic elements. And you mentioned doing all types of events, doing weddings, family reunions. So when it comes to the types of events that you and your team facilitate at the Enterprise Center, so I mentioned the art and the science of putting on an event. So if I'm thinking of an event that involves food, right? And you mentioned having the team, the community kitchen facility available and entrepreneurs there that are part of the team, part of the process. Then the science in this scenario would be, okay, if I eat this food, am I going to be certain that it meets health codes and standards? And you know, does it have the same expectations from a technical science? It got to be right, just like if I was at McDonald's or anywhere else. So that's the science, right?
Yeah,
when it comes to the art, if I have a meeting with Patricia and say, I want to have a family reunion and it's going to be X number of people and we've got a theme, the theme is such and such and such and such, and we would like to have this on the menu. So Patricia hears that in the meeting with me. So I'm thinking that there's an artistic piece that when she hears the theme of this family reunion is blah, 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 blah. So she might make some recommendations on that art piece of this process. But then when it comes to the food, well, Mr. Patterson, you know, if you're thinking of vegetarian menu, da 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 da. So that's where the science comes into play.
So
I'm just using that as a model to, again, frame the question. When you are meeting the needs of your clients, how much of it is art and how much of it is the technical science part?
Well, I mean, it's a combination of both. So I do it all. And, you know, it's funny how when we talk about the Enterprise Conference and Event Center that sits on the south side of Winston-Salem, then people ask about your credentials. Whereas convention center that sits in the middle of downtown, people automatically go in and talk with the people about their event and never ask about credentials. So we, as any other venue, operate in the same way. The chefs are, they have to go through the health department. They have to also have your certificate of liability insurance, serve safes. I mean, that's just required when you're dealing with the public in any situation. So in terms of the actual event and when people walk in and see, because most of the times, again, I ask them for a vision. So when I hear the vision, then my brain begins to turn. And then, you know, I throw out ideas. They may say something else, and I may say something that, based on my experience, works and works well. And they'll say, oh, I never thought about that. So event planning is a combination of the whole thing, 100% on either side, science or art. So it's a combination of it all. You can walk into the room. We had the first Triad's first Black is Beautiful bridal show in May. It was the most beautiful event. I mean, we had pipe and draping that was all around the perimeter of the room. We had businesses, in there. We had all kinds of really, really attractive room setups. So that comes with planning an event, Calvin. You do it all. I do it all. I have the experience, have had the experience, know how to do it, know how to create the experience for the guests. So, yeah, so that's what it is. So when you come here, you're coming to a hospitality venue that does everything any other hospitality venue. I can put my venue up against Marriott any day, and we will come out shining much, much more, because there's that creativity that gives that illusion once you walk into the room. And I have pictures that say that. So
awesome. Awesome. Okay. I'm feeling it. So
I hope so. I hope so. And I hope.
Oh, no ifs, ands, or buts. No,
yeah,
no
yeah, ifs, ands, or no,
as,
you know,
as Larry Graham said back in the day, no bow to doubt. Okay.
Yeah, ain't no bow to doubt.
And she also mentioned
that's why we're number five in the city in terms of hospitality venues when it comes to weddings and receptions. And all of that is based on customer comments. So they go on Google and talk about their experience. And that's how we are number five now. So the guests like us. We like them. We love them. And we love them coming back. So we give them that experience. Anything you want. Anything we have. If we don't have, we can get it. So,
okay. And look, she mentioned that there are pictures on the web, and we'll give all that information. We'll absolutely give you an opportunity to provide all that information, so that when someone is coming up with ideas and they're stuck, number one, they know that they can call, but they can also peruse the website, find you, and take a look at these gorgeous pictures of the venue. So that's an opportunity there. I want to transition just a little bit. When I think about what you just relayed about vision, how someone may have an idea, and it can be overwhelming. I'm not sure how people even work out events without having someone like yourself as an event planner, because when you first think about it, you think about the high end. I want this, I want that, and all the people can come. And then Auntie wants everybody to come from her bingo circle. And then the uncle wants everyone to come from his board and his group, and the young people want something. So when you sit down and you're helping someone with their vision, when you sit down and you say, I'm here for you, we have the amenities to accommodate you, and I'm also giving you my time and my expertise to help you take this journey, and I'm going to be here with you along the way. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in knowing if a big hurdle that you encounter is just getting someone to understand budget. Because when I watch some things on television, these people have this extravagant plan based on Hollywood or what they've seen on an Atlanta show. And that's not realistic in terms of comfort and in terms of accommodating people so that people are doing something that's beautiful, that's engaging, and that's also affordable. So is that a hurdle when you sit down and talk to maybe a lot of younger people and trying to get them to understand that first you have to have your vision? Yes, you have to have someone to help you with that, but you also need to have some math to help you with the budget.
Yeah. So after that vision, I ask about budget. So first response is, well, I don't know. Well, you know, I thought you'd give me some figures. And then my response is that I do believe that when you came up with the thought, that you thought about how much money you're willing to spend. You don't come in blindly. If you're talking to your husband and you ask your husband, well, I want to buy this dress and I need some help. And your husband will say, well, how much is going to cost? Right? You say, I don't know, but you already have in mind what it is that you want, what you've already seen and how much it's going to cost. And they do too. They have those thoughts of what they want to spend. And most of the time, I would say about 75% of the time, then people will come with a number. But I also know that the number they come with is on a low scale, right? So they're going to try to see what they can get as low as they can get. But then when we begin to talk about what it is they want, and I also tell them that we can customize, because food is the big cost. And I say to them, I can help you customize a meal. So you don't have to pick and choose what I have on this menu. We can customize your menu. So for instance, I had a bride to say, I just don't want the regular macaroni and cheese, beans, and that kind of thing. I want to do something Caribbean. I said, okay, great. I have just the right menu for you. Or I'll say, let me talk with my chef and see what the chef can do, what we can work up, and I'll give you a couple of proposals based on X number of dollars that will get you through the budget, you know, with room rental and that kind of thing. So I work with them. There's some, not a whole bunch, that, you know, simply we can't make it work, right? And then I recommend to them other places, actually, or where they can go in and bring their own food in, which will cut the cost. But people just really don't realize that by the time you go to the store, about five different stores to get what you want, then you got to keep going back to the store to get things. And then you're having to prepare it. And then you've got to take it to the venue and set it up. And the venue doesn't give you but 4 hours if it's a recreation center. So you have to set up the tables. And then you have to put everything in. And by that time, it's time for the event to begin and you're tired. Mm-hmm. So I say to them, let us do the work. You have the fun. And that's a part of the plan, that you're going to walk in here to your fun evening. And when it's over, you're going to walk home. You don't have, walk out of the door. You don't have to do anything but come in and enjoy yourself. We're doing everything else for you. And
I love it.
It's cost, you know? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love the way you're communicating the visuals. When you talk about the vision, when you talk about being able to come in and have someone there with you to talk about your planning, so that when you think you need all these hors d'oeuvres, maybe in terms of the hors d'oeuvres, you need to think about something a little bit more practical and something that people would enjoy. But I love how you're setting us up so that we can actually see the facility. I've not had an event for my business, Dignity Justified, in terms of having a venue, because it's just what you're saying. When I have had something, I like walking into a museum, but I would love to have an event where I can have it catered. I can have someone to set up my AV equipment. I'm not bringing in all the artifacts and all the pamphlets and everything and having to worry about tables and seating. But here's the one for me. When I leave, I don't have to clean up.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't have to haul the trash anywhere, Patricia.
Mm-mm. No, that's why my great staff is there. And we make sure you don't pick up anything. Don't even try to clean anything when the event is over. Enjoy your guests. Generally, they chat a little bit before leaving. Enjoy your guests. Pick up your cake if it's a wedding, and whatever it is. If there's beer and wine, you know, you can... let me say this as well. So when they're adult beverages, beer and wine, so the guests can bring in their own beer and wine. However, that beer and wine must be brought to me before the event, and I generally store it in our refrigerator before the event. My staff sets up a bar. We will serve the guests from the bar, because we have to have control over that. So after the event is over, what's not consumed of the beverages that you brought to the facility, we give that back to you. but you are required when there is beer and alcohol, if we're talking about a number of people, 50 to 100, 150, you are required to have security. I book that security. We have a security company, a great Black-owned company that we work directly with. And they come in and they are just so clean. I just love them. They just kind of blend in the crowd. So you actually don't know that they are security, but they are a good company and they've been working. I've been working with them now for several years. So we have that available as well.
This is just amazing just to hear. It is fantastic, state of the art. Your presentation in terms of giving someone something to look forward to in terms of booking the facility. They don't have to worry about someone trying to cut bread to make these tuna fish sandwiches and this old potato salad that they're hauling around during the summer. No one has time for that. So to come into a state of the art facility and know that you're going to be cared for, chefs that are just awesome. You just mentioned not too long ago the idea of having someone to have Caribbean cuisine. So if someone decided they wanted to have that or Cornish hen, you can make that Asian, happen for them.
Asian, Jamaican, we can do it all. We have chefs that are experienced in varied backgrounds of any type of cuisine. And we did an Asian, it was a Asian group. The total group was an Asian group, and they wanted orange chicken, the stir fry, and that kind of thing. So the chef prepared that, and we got a thumbs up from that group saying that this food is really good, better than some I've tasted, you know, from our own chefs. So I mean, we do it all. We also, let me say this as well. We have a lot of repasses here, too. So when families don't want all those other families, you know, there at their home, they come here for the repass. You're not allowed to bring in your own food. We provide the food for them, and they come in, enjoy their family, have lunch, dinner, or whatever. And they leave, and they would prefer just paying us, bringing in all those guests that have come from out of town, feed them, and folks go home. So we also have done repasses. We've also had a funeral here and the repass. Mm-hmm. So this is a community hospitality venue, and this is what we do. We are here for the community, for the city. The city does use us. We have city departments that have come back to us again and again and again. We have university, Wake Forest University, School of the Arts that have their corporate meetings. We're now, there's going to be beginning Wake Forest University Advisory Council executive meetings that will be held here beginning in November. Their quarterly meetings. We have the Christmas parties that are coming up. There's also an event that we do every year. We've done every year where Pastor Bernard Walker, Life in Christ Ministries, he brings the homeless in. Generally, they're about 100, 150. The room is so beautiful. We set it up very beautifully. It's in red and white. We have Christmas trees. So they have a great Christmas dinner done uptown. So they're not coming in here eating from the tables with no tablecloths. They're coming into a facility that has been set up first class just for them. And we've been doing that now for about the last 8 years as well.
Well, you know, I know one thing. It was good enough for a young lady who walked in, and she actually served as the first Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court. So when Sherry Beasley walked in, I thought, you know, anybody from anywhere can get here. You can get across 52. You can get across 40. You can get here to the state-of-the-art facility. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, especially how you broke down, because we think about planning maybe weddings and perhaps people think about, I know what comes to mind for me are homecomings and you know, family reunions. But just to talk about having a facility for families, for community, mm-hmm. where in the Atkins community, SG Atkins Center, you can bring family, friends, community to, mm-hmm. and to have fellowship. Mm-hmm. So thank you for breaking that down yeah. so that people think about an event in terms of any event, whatever yeah. that particular event may be, they can call and you can let them know how best you can accommodate them. So I really appreciate that because I learned quite a bit just listening to you just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just call in, give me a date, and I have a calendar. I'll look at the calendar, see if that date is clear, and I'd like to invite all of my guests, because a lot of them have never been here. So mm-hmm. I like to invite them in, invite them over, and I give them a tour of the facility, the total facility, and give them a little history. And they're always proud to feel and be here in the presence of a facility that is Black owned and operated yeah, yeah. and the state of the art is first class. We also love on our community. I'm very active in our neighborhood association. So I think you all really was involved with our last community day. It was a few weeks ago. We invite the community over because we want people to meet people, to network with people, to have businesses that are in this building, meet people, and hopefully showcase their brands and their products to the mm-hmm. people in the community as well. So next year we will be celebrating our 10th anniversary, and the plans have already started. It's going to be really, really, really big this time.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, Patricia.
Yes, Calvin.
You got it right that time.
I did.
You mentioned the plethora of types of events that you have, everything from weddings to repasts to corporate events to family reunions. So
birthday
as
party.
I sort of divide business events versus non-business events, right? Social leisure events. Mm-hmm. Is there one that's more challenging than the other? Is having a representative from the Nation of Islam come any different than having a wedding any more challenging than having a family reunion, any more challenging than having a funeral and a repast?
So I tell you, like I tell my staff, every group is VIP to me, every group, whatever it is, all of them will get the VIP treatment. In terms of challenging, probably baby showers are more challenging. Working with that mother is probably more challenging. And those are little small events, but they still work out the same. You just have a pregnant mother who, you know, wants things and they want them now and they want them, you know, mm-hmm. but that's the way that is. If you, Anita, have had children before and been pregnant before, you know how we could be when we're in that stage. But to say one is more challenging than the other, no, because all of them really need about the same thing. First of all, they need your attention. And secondly, we were talking about, you know, audiovisual. I can even, just by a person sitting down and telling me what they want, based on my experience, I know how to set up the room. I know what's needed. But I'll mm-hmm. allow them to go through their needs, and then I will suggest other things. And they say, oh, you know, as I said before, they realize, oh, I forgot that and I forgot that. So I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Okay.
There's some right. that we like doing more than others, but it's all in the game. You know, it's all in the hospitality game. So
right.
And I would like to add that that's throughout the building. When we engage with others here, from the time you walk in and you're greeted at the door, it's just a sense of a family and fellowship and hospitality.
Yes.
I just watched one event. I came in a little bit early, and even though you manned the upstairs, that first floor, you were out sweeping the sidewalk. Now, we know Mr. Chris is on it. He's just he's nonstop. You know, he works. I hardly ever see him sit down. Mm-hmm. But you just saw that the wind had scattered a few leaves or whatever debris from maybe the grass being cut. And you were out there sweeping. So from just starting at the top with the executive director, Carol Davis, you talked about the state-of-the-art kitchen with Mrs. Talisa Ward. Just this, the staff in this building, the businesses here. It is just such a welcoming environment. I am, I'm just honored to be here in the building. And I'm just so happy to learn so much when I talk to individuals. And I know it's difficult for people to find the time to sit down to converse with others, but I appreciate you for taking the time to do it, because it's just intriguing conversations where we're learning and we're hoping that the community learns as well. And along those lines, then I have a few questions, just one other question for you.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
That is, when I think about how you communicate and you help us with our sensory perception of what the place is like in terms of what we'll see and how aesthetically pleasing it is and how kind the people are and how helpful you've been in terms of encouraging the employability of others. When I think about that, it makes me wonder a little bit more about your background. For example, you've had to mention sitting, you've mentioned having to sit down and help people to visualize that budget, helping them to manage their time, to understand what the facility can do, but also setting parameters. I know that it takes a lot to communicate with others. It takes a lot to get people to understand that what's on paper is our agreement. And if we move away from this, this is a business and there's some other things that we have to do. So it's not all fun and event. It's also about understanding the parameters of that business model. So can you tell us a little bit about your background in terms of your people skills? Because I bet you know almost everybody in Winston now. about your background, just what did you bring to the table? You told us, you know, you were at the Y and leaving the Y, so we know what brought you to the center, but something has kept you here, something has sustained you, and tell us about your background.
Well, I came to Winston-Salem a lifetime ago. However, I was hired as a broadcast journalist, they call them now, but as a news reporter at a local radio station. I was at in news at a radio station in Burlington. We were a competitor, so the radio stations listened to other radio stations. And when I got a call again and asked if I could come to Winston-Salem, they needed someone in the newsroom, so I was the first Black woman in that newsroom. I covered the city as a city-county reporter, so I covered city and county government mainly, so I did have the opportunity to meet a lot of people at that time. I moved out of the broadcast industry, and I also had a TV program. A public affairs program on one of our local TV, CAT TV, the public information station. And I moved out of that into sales with hotel hospitality sales, and then in sales with Pepsi. And here I am here. So I've always been in the, I would say, public relations. I've worked with the community. I've worked outside with the community. I've worked with them all. So I have been, and I am an extrovert. So I get to know people, and I've gotten to know people. Yeah, That's what I've done. That's how I came to Winston-Salem. And I'm still here outside and inside working with the people. I am a strong woman of faith, or I love God. And I dance a lot. So I teach, I've taught dancing classes, water fitness, hula hoop. So I've been very active in the community for a number of years.
So Patricia, when I came to your office, and we were actually finishing a contract for the Winston-Salem Black Chamber of Commerce to have an event here at the Enterprise Center. And of course, it was an event that exceeded expectations. I recall seeing on the wall of your office a number of either diplomas, or they could have been college accreditations. Now, I'm not trying to get in your business by any means, but I'm curious, from an academic background, what prepared you for the various roles that you mentioned, including the reporting and having the public affairs radio program, and eventually, of course, being in the role you're in now for almost 10 years. So what sort of academic preparation, if someone was thinking of going into the event planning arena, what would you suggest the academic preparation be?
Experience. But academically, I was an English major, always loved talking, always loved public speaking, always loved reading, and that kind of communication is my field. So I attended Elon College. I attended Carolina School of Broadcasting and did some studies here locally at the Alamance Community College and with Forsyth Community College. So my brother told me, he lived with me after my son was born, and he said, you know what? He said, you had the gift of gab. You ought to go into radio or TV. And I thought about it, and that's what I did. And I went, when I went to Carolina School of Broadcasting, I was hired directly out of the school to work at a radio station in Burlington in reporting, news reporting. So that's how I got there. It was a lot of trial and error trying to determine what it was or what it is back then, what it was, what I wanted to do. And when my brother mentioned that to me, and I thought about, you know, when I went to school, I'm always wanting to read in front of everyone. I'm always wanting to stand up in front of the class.
Well, you knew all the alphabets for one thing.
Yeah.
That's right. How do you spell your name? How do you spell the graphic read?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So it's me. It's me. But I remember as a reporter interviewing the human resources director with the city of Winston-Salem. And I asked him a question, well, to get a job with the city, must you have a degree? And his response to me was, you know, Pat, people have lots of degrees. There are people who just go to school and with degrees. But when I look at a potential candidate for a job, I look at their experience. So if I look at experience, even though I'm not knocking degrees at all, but I think gaining some experience in the field that you're wanting to enter is invaluable. I mean, you can come be as an intern in a university, you know, come to a place like SG Atkins, the Enterprise Center, because we have a plethora of offices and opportunities here. You know, get some training in the field that you want to go. So when you go in, not only do you have the degree, but you have experience in that field as well.
That is such good advice. You know, this is a business incubator. Mm-hmm. And I can promise you, if someone walked in and said, I'm looking for some experience. I would love to have an intern. Choose your field, experiment if you have to. And the best way to do that is to do that internship, commit to the community.
And choose a mentor. Choose someone that's going to be straight up with you, going to be frank with you, and that you can learn from and that you like. And go for it. That's one of the things that Pepsi, when I worked with Pepsi, started in that field, the first thing they said to me is, yes, I have the experience, you know, in sales and I have those people skills, but I really want you to choose a mentor, someone here at Pepsi, you know, especially if you want to grow, to mentor you as well. And then I became a mentor. So it's all about knowing your field and believing in your brand. Right.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know you're a busy lady. I am really appreciative of the wealth of information and the inspiration that you've shared. I'm just tickled to know a little bit about your connection to Eastern North Carolina, New Bern, the East Coast of North Carolina. In fact, New Bern was during the colonial era. That was the state capital. So when I go again, I will go to the visitor center and I will learn more about it. And from now on, I'm just going to get a little bougie with you. When I come in and I have a croissant, I want Swiss cheese.
You may have it, anything you want, you may have. And so next up is that I'll have to get you, Anita, and Calvin to dancing. So have some fun dancing. That's next, Calvin.
Boy, I don't know if you want to see me dance. I do a dance from the 60s called the Uncle Jack. We can talk more about that later.
I'm sure that Uncle Jack, there's a move that's very similar to the Uncle Jack that we're doing now. So
okay.
Well, you know what? Here's what Anita's gonna do. When you all pop that fan, I'll be sitting in a chair just fanning. So I can't keep up with you. I've seen that dance group that you're in charge of. You all rock and roll. It is so chic and it's just beautiful to see those sisters out there jamming. You all are exciting and the life of the party. I've seen you all several times, including at the Delta Art Center. Before we let you go and do all of the things that you're responsible for here at the S.G. Atkins Enterprise Center, will you give us some information for our listeners if they want to reach out and find out more information about the Conference and Event Center? How might they do that?
So our website is sgacdc.org, and you would click on Conference and Event Center, and that will give you the information. You can also submit a request if you're wanting to interested in an event. You can do that via the website sgacdc.org. Our Facebook page is the Enterprise Conference and Banquet Center. And you can take a look at the pictures and some of the things that a lot of things were done. I'm still updating with pictures. I have so many pictures, but that will give you a great idea of how we do, what we do, when we do, and how much we do. We also have an Instagram. It's the Enterprise Conference Center Instagram. And we also have a Twitter account, the Enterprise Conference and Event Center as well. And you can always email me. It's my email address is sgatkins, that's ATKINS, CDC, like cat, dog, cat, the number 2@gmail.com. And my telephone number, direct number into my office is 336-734-6916. That's 734-6916. And again, my name is Patricia. I am the event planner, manager, coordinator here at the Enterprise Conference and Event Center, the place where community hospitality lives.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Such skill and finesse. Thank you so much, Patricia D. Graffenried. And you listeners can find out more about Dignity Justified at dignityjustified.com. Thank you, and you have a pleasant evening.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Welcome to our Dignity Justified podcast. I'm Anita.
And I'm Calvin.
Dignity Justified is the podcast where we have conversations about African-American art and artifacts.
It's also where we discuss ideas and individuals.
And it's where we ask questions. What is this? And why don't you just incinerate it?
What was your path to success?
How many African-Americans appear on U.S. currency?
And this is epic. Why?
Why are some everyday people treated like curious characters?
What object was passed down to you?
How do you express your dignity?
How will this uplift and elevate?
We hope you'll listen and subscribe to our bi-weekly podcast, Dignity Justified.